Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast for the latest Indiana farm news and weather, and a look back at a mixed day in the corn, soybean, and wheat markets, only corn higher yesterday. I'm Andy Eubank on the 18th of December 2025, 1 week away from Christmas. And this podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. C.J. Miller and Greg Allen have the news today, including a fast-approaching deadline for farmers to qualify for the USDA Farmer Bridge Assistance Program, and details on Keystone Co-op's initiative to strengthen the rural communities they serve. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says warm conditions continue and rain starts to spread across the state, but a cold wave coming again, and we'll get market analysis from Carl Setzer on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The deadline is approaching and cultivating communities. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. The deadline is fast approaching for farmers to qualify for USDA's Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. C.J. Miller has more.
So the first component of this is making sure that folks that have not submitted an acreage report get that done. That's when we're locking down acreage reporting on December 19th.
And that's Richard Fordyce, USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation.
Once we have that and knowing the formulas that we are going to use, so we're going to use production cost models, USDA production cost models. We're going to use the WASDE, not completely sure which one, depending on timing from a price standpoint. Point, the 2025 planted acres. So we will be announcing by crop the payment rate by crop around December 22nd.
Last week, President Trump announced that $12 billion in financial assistance would be available to America's farmers. The goal is to help those struggling with high input costs, low commodity prices, and retaliatory tariffs due to trade disputes.
I don't know how many factors would go into what an economic loss would be. You know, certainly we know that inputs are high, margins are slim to negative. Certainly a lot of things affect that. And I guess we wouldn't know necessarily what percentage of that is related to which one. There's certainly several of those that contribute, but this is an economic loss program.
But Fordyce says that farmers must meet certain requirements to qualify for the assistance.
We're going to use the payment limitation levels from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which are $155,000 per person or legal entity. So yes, there will be a cap on what producers can earn. The entity participating has to certify that they have an adjusted gross income of less than $900,000 to be eligible.
Find out more about the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
'Tis the season for giving back to the community, and most large companies and organizations have their own initiatives and programs that accomplish that. But Keystone Cooperative has developed a unique way of giving back with its Cultivating Communities program. Chief Experience Officer at Keystone Cooperative, Amy Kinsler, explains.
Cultivating Communities allows our employees to determine where Keystone shows up locally. So we give them 8 hours paid time off to go volunteer at whatever organization is near and dear to them in their rural communities. And then when they do invest 8 hours of volunteering, then we will support them with a $100 donation to that local organization of their choice.
From supporting FFA and 4-H programs to helping fund school initiatives, food pantries, and local events, Cultivating Communities allows Keystone employees and members to give back in meaningful ways where they live and work.
One thing we know about the Keystone employee team is they volunteer. We have a lot of volunteer firefighters. We have a lot of Little League coaches. We have a lot of folks that are volunteering at their local churches. And so we know that our team is very heavily involved in their communities. We keep encouraging them. A lot of them are pretty humble folks. They don't like to brag on themselves. So encouraging them to tell us where they're showing up and let us come in and support them on the backside has been something we've been pretty focused on these past couple of years.
Kinsler says the program reflects the cooperative's mission, not just to serve farmers, but to help rural communities remain vibrant, connected, and resilient for future generations.
Sometimes you get challenges as you grow and scale in size that you're not local anymore. This allows us to really keep that giving within the employee team in the local area.
For more on this story, log on to HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Rain overspreading the Hoosier State today. We are quite warm ahead of this frontal boundary that is coming in. That's the reason why we're looking at predominantly rain. There is still a question mark as to rain ending as snow. At this point in time this morning, I feel confident in saying I do think we will see rain end as a burst of snow, probably somewhere between 7 p.m., 6 to 7 p.m., and 10 p.m. over the Hoosier State. Will it be a huge burst of snow? I don't think so. This is a very cold Arctic blast, though, and I just don't think the moisture gets completely out of here before the snow flies. Once we get to midnight, precipitation is done, and then we're just stuck with this brutal Arctic cold. It holds for about 24 hours through midnight on Friday night into early Saturday morning, and then we start to see some southwest flow come back. Saturday looks more mild here. I think we get back up into the upper 30s, low 40s across most of the state. Sunday cooling down slightly as Arctic air refuses to give up without a fight. So chilly on Sunday, but not cold. Next week, we are quite mild for most of the week. I'm going to say way above normal for Tuesday through the weekend. Moisture, maybe a little bit of it Thursday morning, that's Christmas morning, where we can see a few spits and sprinkles, especially over the northern part of the state, but the rest of the week is dry. Going into the weekend of the 26th, 27th, that's where we can see some on again, off again, scattered showers, slightly cooler temperatures, and then we go into the week of the 29th, turning the calendar into 2027, we're going to do it with temperatures that stay well above normal. So it's not going to be getting warm and just staying warm. We have some incursions of cooler air on occasion here over the next little bit, but generally speaking, the next 2 weeks are going to be blowing our socks off with temperatures compared to normal. I'm Ryan Martin.
While snow may cover Indiana's soil and water, Hoosier farmers know the great treasure that lies out of sight. As we move through the holidays, know that the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance values you as an integral part of Indiana agriculture. However you contribute to viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water, IANA and its partners stand ready to help in 2026 as you manage expensive nutrients successfully and plan for next season. Show your support for Indiana FFA by attending the Blue and Gold Gala. It's Saturday, February 28th at the Barn at Bay Horse Inn in Greenwood. The evening begins with a cocktail reception and silent auction at 5, dinner at 6, and a live auction to cap off the night. All proceeds benefit Indiana FFA. Join us as we support ag education and career development for Indiana's next generation of ag leaders. For more information and to reserve your seats, visit INFFA.org.
Only corn works higher most of the day and finishes there. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We'll start with market analysis. I secured that at the end of the session from Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Somewhat quiet and mixed markets, Carl, on Thursday, and we did see a higher move throughout the trading session, albeit limited, in the corn futures market. And both wheat and beans did test the high side, but overall, not a whole lot of action.
No, a real quiet session today, and kind of expected this. We're starting to wind down for end of the week trade, and a lot more technical trade taking place. That was really evident in the soy complex today. The early losses we've seen haven't really been from heavy selling pressure. We just don't have any buying interest underneath the market. Nobody wants to extend positions when you only have really two full trading days left for the year. Next week's trade will be highly shortened, Monday and Tuesday, most of the activity. And then the following week is the week prior to year end, so it'll be shortened as well. A lot of traders getting out of their positions today. Spread trading in that soy complex has been noted the last couple of sessions here late in the day, giving us a little bit of pressure on the nearby, but supporting new crop soybeans. And that did give away to fresh buying interest today, so was supportive in the end. Corn starting to lead the market a little bit more, taking support from our persistent flash sales that we've been getting.
And we did have flash sales of corn on Wednesday, also flash soybean sales of soybeans. To where and how impressed were you?
The corn going into Mexico, that was a good sale. That was not too surprising. Mexico does need a little bit more corn, and they're feeding the cattle that did come into the United States. Those feeders are backed up across the border. Mexico only produces 20% of their crop as yellow corn for feed. So they need to keep importing corn. Mentioning China, we did see a big soybean sale to China, as well as a soybean sale to an unknown. China also listed as a canceller of a previous white wheat purchase. That was really questioned when it was announced back in November as to why China would have been in buying white wheat. So to see it washed off the books, not too surprising, but it was enough that it weighed on the wheat complex during today's trade.
We did see the ethanol grind come in from a week ago, a record number for the week. Was that helpful to the corn market?
It did help the corn complex out today. There's been some concerns about ethanol production with the low margins we've had. Ethanol margins down to about a dime a gallon, well off that 50 to 60 cents we were seeing this summer. What's more impressive than the corn consumption going into ethanol was the ethanol demand. Blender demand spiked 6.5% on the week at a time when it typically trails off, and our exports jumped 66,000 barrels a day to average 191,000. So the demand side gave us just as much support as the production side on ethanol, and that did spill back into the corn complex and gave us some much needed support.
Carl Setzer, market commentary. Get Carl at Consus Ag Consulting. The phone number 989-506-1587. On the Hat Wednesday market review, up 4 cents for March corn. It goes to 440.5. May 447.75, up 3.25. July up 2.5, 453.5. Jan beans 10.58.25, down 4.5 cents. And March 3 cents lower, 10.68.75. 3.25 down on the March wheat, 506.25. Meats down 2. February live cattle 229.55, $1.15 lower, and $1.77 down on the Feb lean hogs, $83 even. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.